This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, January 13, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Ottawa County Board of Commissioners is considering turning its community mental health department into an authority. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Ottawa is one of five Michigan counties solely operating its community mental health department. According to CMH CEO Dr. Michael Brashears, shifting to an authority would allow it to operate more like a business than a government entity, providing financial flexibility and addressing more complex mental health services.
Regardless of what happens, we need to ensure that consumers and the communities protected and the staff are protected and the services are protected.
Currently, as a department, CMH adheres to the county's budgeting process. Were it to become an authority, CMH would control its own decisions through a CMH board appointed by the Ottawa County Board. Those decisions include financial, staffing, and contracts. Ottawa County could also reduce its financial risk, but according to officials, CMH is currently operating with a $5 million deficit.
Right now, where's the $5 million? If the region doesn't have it, the state can cover a portion of it, but they can look locally to say, what are you going to do to cover that deficit?
The county will host three public feedback meetings. Dates and times can be found on the Ottawa County website. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Supreme Court of the United States has denied hearing four cases from Michigan involving what is known as home equity theft. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The legal challenge centers on how counties disperse profits from a home sold to cover unpaid property taxes. The Supreme Court previously ruled the government cannot take more than what is owed. Attorney Christina Martin of the Pacific Legal Foundation petitioned the United States Supreme Court to hear four Michigan cases in which county governments seized and sold property for unpaid taxes, but retained the entire sale price, including the equity, instead of returning the surplus proceeds to the property owner. Martin argues Michigan courts fail the homeowner in these cases. She alleges that overly complex rules and short windows for appeal strip homeowners of their profits before they can research their rights or consult with attorneys, effectively providing a loophole for counties to pocket home equity. Monday, the Supreme Court released its order list, showing the four cases were denied. However, the court will hear oral arguments in a similar case from Isabella County next month. I'm Dee Morrison.
The new president at Grand Rapids Community College will start work on March 2nd. Last month, college trustees selected Dr. Catherine Rogalski to serve as the school's next president, and now WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they have negotiated and approved her contract.
Dr. Rogalski aligns with what this college needs at this moment in time.
Dr. Catherine Rogalski is currently a vice president of academic affairs at Northeast Wisconsin Technical College and has the skills trustee Catherine Brinesma says Grand Rapids Community College needs in a president.
Her adaptive leadership skills.
Under the terms of her recently ratified contract, the school will pay Rogalski $285,000 a year plus benefits to serve as GRCC's 12th president.
She embodies every quality we have identified as essential. She's the strategic leader that we need.
And after the sudden unexplained resignation of her predecessor, Dr. Charles Lepper, in April, trustee Kenyatta Bram says Rogalski
seemed to appreciate what the college has gone to, and she knows that she needs to take us in a positive direction.
Rogalski has 25 years experience in higher education. Trustee Micah Perkins calls her a relationship builder.
And she wants to be accessible to leadership here on campus as well as to the students who we serve.
Once again, Trustee Brinesma.
I look forward to working alongside you as we enter GRCC's next phase together.
I'm Phil Dawson.
West and Southwest Michigan's manufacturing economies continue showing signs of softening. WGVU's Patrick Center breaks down the December Supply Chain Management Research Survey.
Regrettably, our statistics for this month are down again, but not down nearly enough to where we are thinking about sliding off a cliff.
Brian G. Long is director of supply chain management research in the Seidman College of Business at Grand Valley State University. He explains business planners are trying to assess a fluid economic landscape.
So as a consequence, expansion plans and new hire plans have often been put on hold.
Long calls January a back-to-work month. He suspects data collected from the first month of the new year should provide clues for what direction the economy is heading in 2026. There are trends. Michigan's December Bureau of Labor Statistics report indicates unemployment continues to rise.
We know unemployment rates in West Michigan have been increasing significantly over the last 18 months.
And inflation remains elevated at 2.7%, but buried deep within the report, a vital statistic.
Shelter is what BLS calls the cost of buying or renting a home, and together the cost of owning and maintaining a home is 40% of the whole CPI. Well, the shelter component this month posted at 3.0, down sharply from 3.6. Do the math. If the shelter component continues to fall, the entire CPI will fall with it.
Suggesting falling consumer prices. I'm Patrick Center.
The Macy's in Granville's Rivertown Crossings Mall is closing. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
In a statement to WGVU, a representative for Granville's Rivertown Crossings wrote, quote, "We can confirm that Macy's has announced plans to close its store at Rivertown Crossings. In recent years, Macy's disclosed plans to close approximately 150 locations through 2026 as part of a nationwide restructuring," end quote. Including Rivertown Crossings, 14 Macy's locations are closing in 12 states this year. It's part of the retailer's bold new chapter strategy announced in February 2024. A Macy's spokesperson shared the following statement with WGVU, quote, "The decision allows us to focus on improving nearby Macy's locations and invest in the stores and digital experiences where customers are choosing to shop today. We first communicated directly with our Macy's colleagues at Rivertown Crossings and are supporting them through this transition, including transfer opportunities where available, and severance and support where applicable," end quote. The closure will leave 6 Macy's stores in Michigan. 2 stores, Kentwood and Portage, will remain open in West and Southwest Michigan. No date was given for the store's final day of operation. I'm David Limbaugh.
Wedgwood Christian Services is raising awareness during January's National Human Trafficking Prevention Month. WGVU's Dee Morrison takes a closer look at human trafficking in West Michigan.
The National Human Trafficking Hotline shows 340 cases in Michigan in 2024, with nearly 600 victims. In Kent County alone, the Sheriff's Office identified more than 90 victims.
One of the big challenges that we experience is that people tend to sensationalize what it might look like. There's a lot of movies or clips that may show someone getting taken from a store or off the street. And while that can happen, it is much more subtle than that.
Corey Thompson is Wedgwood's Advancement and Community Development Officer, working with their Manassas Project Trauma Recovery Center, a residential program for victims of sex trafficking or sexual trauma, girls who are 12 to 17 years old.
It is happening here in West Michigan. I think that's another challenge for people, is they think that, oh, that may happen somewhere else in a bigger city, in another country, but the reality of it is that it's happening here.
Wedgwood is hosting a free educational event at Wealthy Theater January 22nd at 6 p.m.
Some of the most important things is just to understand the vulnerabilities behind it, how to spot it, and what is safe to do.
Guests can register for the free event on the Wedgwood Christian Services website. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at the justice reform work a Just GR is doing in the community. But first, news from around the state. Michigan Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist is suspending his campaign for governor. Instead, he'll run for Secretary of State. Colin Jackson has more.
Gilchrist is putting improved service, government transparency, and protecting voters' privacy as some of the top issues in his new campaign. He says his experience as a software engineer and with building systems makes him the best person to build strong elections.
I want your vote to count regardless of who you vote for. I want you to trust your vote regardless of who you vote for. And I want more people to vote regardless of who they vote for, to increase our voter turnout in every demographic, every community, every age bracket. I want more people to participate in this democracy in Michigan.
Several people, including Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram, Deputy Secretary of State Ogogo Edebie, and former State Senator Adam Olye, are also running for the Democratic Secretary of State endorsement. I'm Colin Jackson.
Revenue from new data centers could be used to fund housing support services in Lansing under a new plan. The proposed ordinance would dedicate 10% of revenue the Lansing Board of Water and Light receives from data center utility use to fund housing support services. The funds could be used to help prevent residents from losing their homes and assist those who already have with finding stable housing. Jerry Norris says he is concerned about the city becoming too reliant on data centers.
It sets a precedence that, hey, we're accepting all data centers, and I don't think we should except this one.
He says a greater percentage of the revenue from data centers should be dedicated to housing if city council members decide to move forward with the plan. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The organization called A Just GR focuses on justice reform and equity in the Grand Rapids community. Leaders have been holding public meetings to collect data from area agencies on crisis management, law enforcement, neighborhood conditions, and community assets. But as chairperson Reverend Paris McMurray tells WGVU's Dee Morrison, numbers don't tell the full story.
What we now are moving into is gathering information from the community that helps us understand what our action matrix should look like. What action should we be taking forward? And so what we're doing is inviting people from all across community, all across our great city, to come and be a part of the conversation. We have been able to gather some data from different sectors across our community, from the healthcare sector, housing sector, from the police department, and jail use data and information. And we now are at a space where we want to present some of the findings and then say to community, okay, now that we have this information, where do we go from here? What information might be missing? Most importantly, what shared experiences or life lived experiences are missing from the numbers? I think that's extremely important because numbers can tell us one thing, and I think we can, you know, pretty much summarize what data might show. But what is missing significantly are those stories around lived experiences that may not be directly reflected in the data.
What are some of the findings that you think are most important or even most surprising to people in the community?
Sure. I know that maybe lived experience, or as we like to clarify or declare, justice impacted individuals or families will probably be able to confirm, you know, the information that I'm presenting. But here in Grand Rapids, there is an over-reliance on jail use, right? Jail use and police contact initially in many situations, you know, what resources could be available for families or people in our community so that there is not the use for jail use. One of the things that we've looked at over time is the number of people that have been placed into jail, but then released in less than 24 or 48 hours. And it's those numbers that are quite alarming to us. And so looking at financially, right, the financial investment of that, could those dollars be reallocated to properly address what might be happening or causing people in our community to be admitted to jail, but then in less than 48 hours be released from jail as well? This could be something that is alarming to others, but not surprising to some, is that there is a significant level of domestic violence that is happening against many, many of our community members, right? Across genders and across even relationships, that those could be romantic relationships, those could be parent, guardian, and child relationships. And so this domestic violence and the numbers that are coming across in all of our data sets as it relates to domestic violence is something that is sticking out and something that is significantly alarming in our community for sure.
When you were talking about the use of the jail, someone going to jail instead of perhaps being referred to a mental health facility or getting drug rehabilitation center, something along those lines.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. And, you know, we have recent incidences in our community where there was a mental health crisis that existed, unfortunately, that led to some outcomes that were not necessarily favorable, you know, to our community. And so we'll be talking about things and then also providing space for people to express those things. One thing that we want to continue to stress throughout this is that A Just GR is not the end all be all voices of everyone in community, right? This is a collaborative that is inviting people into conversations as opposed to excluding people out of conversations, right? There was a question that was asked at one of our presentations that said, how do we know as community members, how do we know that we can trust you, A Just GR, to speak and to advocate for us appropriately? Our response was, we are not the sole ones responsible for speaking to whatever systems, whatever powers that be. However, we are responsible for providing another space and opportunity for us as a collective community voice to then go and speak to the systems and speak to the powers that be. And so that's the reason for these community meetings. That's the reason for these road shows. That is the reason for us being able to present in many different spaces so that we all, as a collective Grand Rapids, be a more just GR, as our name says, so that everyone feels as though they have stake in this conversation.
Gathering hard data, gathering personal experiences and input, what is the next step after that?
Yeah, so the next phase after that is to then begin to develop an action matrix based upon our findings from the data, based upon conversations that are being shared in community. The next step would then be to develop a set or a list of priorities that we might be able to take action upon, right? Our goal is to find the common thread or the commonalities that exist amongst the conversation and what issues might raise to, you know, priority from these conversations. Is domestic violence something that we need to address and determine what action steps need to be taken? Is overuse in jail, is that something? Are there housing inequities that exist that may need significant actionable items attached to some of those critical societal issues that we see in our community? So the next phase is really now, we know the information, we've gathered information, now what, right? Now that we know, what will we do is something that we're moving into the next phase of. So understanding that this project is a cross-collaborative, cross-sector project, including the criminal justice system, we are looking for community-based organizations, not just high-level policy organizations, but grassroots direct service organizations to come to this conversation and to be a part of this. Everyday residents, one of the things that we focus on is in our messaging, in our theory of action, in our conversations around community, in our presentations, will we be able to have the CEO understand, right, the significant financial impacts from our commerce sector? And also, right, we say it this way, will we also, across the spectrum, be able to have granny who lives on the corner, who is significantly involved and in the fabric of her community, is she at the table as well? Is he, grandfather, at the table as well? And so making sure this cross-sector, cross-spectrum approach so that no one in our community feels excluded from this conversation.
Well, thank you, Reverend. I appreciate you speaking with me today, and I hope you and I can continue the conversation as these issues continue to be a concern in the community.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, January 13, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.